listening to the Local Bar Podcast with your host, Chad Alexander. Come on in. We have a lot of friends we want you to meet.
Hello. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, all the stuff that goes on now. Kwanzaa, Rama, whatever the junk. I hope you are having a wonderful season. This is the Local Bar. I am Chad Alexander, and of all the places you could be, you have decided to spend a few moments with us today, and for that, we are incredibly grateful. It is less than a week away. Yeah, I hope your shopping's done, and I bet for about 90% of you it's not. I got just about all of mine done, but I've got a couple of people that are almost impossible to shop for. But it is kind of fun. It's almost kind of like a sport. If you don't get wrapped up in just the chaos of it all, it's kind of a nice little sport trying to find that one perfect gift for each person. Really what makes you, what sticks out to you and says something about that. Crazy week this week. I've had a really interesting week. I've gotten to meet or get to know somebody a little bit better. I did start a new job, as I've been talking about on this show. Headed off in a new career, very excited about it. There's a lot of questions. There's a lot of concern, as there is anytime you're making a change, because I'm not so much just changing jobs. I'm really kind of changing, well, I'm still in sales and advertising and marketing, but just in a different realm. So it'll be really interesting and really fun. I'm excited about getting into it. But I went up to Charlotte this week, worked with my new manager for a few days. She's an extremely nice lady. She says that she's going to listen to my podcast. I don't think she's going to, but if she is, Jill, I want you to know that I had a wonderful time, and I think I retained about a good 10% of everything you taught me. So we'll see how long it takes me to get going here. But no, it was a great week. Enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. Always exciting when you start something new, but it's interesting. I have never been part of a company that is so full of positivity. Everyone that I spoke to was not only happy about what they do, the calls they were working for, the company that they're working for, and the people that they work with. I have never seen it just rampant like it is in this company. And a part of me is like, I wonder if everybody's just in a good mood because it's Christmas. As I've talked with a couple of other folks and talked to them, you know, just kind of offline and outside of work, I'm finding that it's not that way. How wonderful, you know, it is to find folks like that. It reminded me of something that I learned a long time ago. It comes from that old saying, if you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. It's kind of a rendition of that. If you're feeling down, if you're feeling like you're not making things happen, if you feel like, you know, the world's just kind of stagnant to you, go out there and surround yourself with people that care. And go out there and surround yourself with positive people. And man, I tell you what, it is amazing how infectious a lot of their attitudes are. And it's just been fun. And this is just the starting point. I can't wait to meet more of them in a few weeks when I fly out to L.A. for the company meeting. So that's what's going on with me. I want to give you a quick update on everyone that we've talked to on the show. I've had some really neat things lately. Number one, Scott Kelly, the first guy that we ever interviewed on the show, has been watching his Facebook page. We're probably sometime at the beginning of the year going to have a follow-up with him. I don't know that I've seen more ups and downs out of him in a week's time than I have over the past week. I don't think I've seen it in a month. Like I had. So he's had some crazy week. I know he's working on some things, but he's all of a sudden, he's got like a really unique choice that's been kind of thrown in his lap. And Scott, if you listen, buddy, sometime towards the beginning of the year, we're going to have a little follow-up. Smitty is on the trail. Smitty is leaving. Smitty, I hope you've packed up at least this last podcast before you take off. Smitty is leaving and going to, I don't know, South America, somewhere in South America for like a month. He's leaving. He's going to be gone over Christmas. Comes back, I think, January 18th, maybe. Maybe it's the 14th. I think it's the 14th. So he's going to be hiking quite a bit. A lot of pictures, a lot of stories. Can't wait to hear from him. So think about him during this Christmas season. If you're doing anything adventurous, I'd love to hear about it. Because Smitty and I do talk about the show quite a bit, and every now and then I do pass along some of y'all's emails to the people that I've talked to on the show. So this is Smitty's crazy Christmas. He's taken off with some people that are very close to him, going down to South America. They are hiking all over the world. I think he even said he's going to the southernmost city on that continent. I think it may be the southernmost city in the world. I can't remember what he said. If you are doing something unique and crazy for Christmas, write in. I want to hear what it is. Next time I go and I sit at Smitty's bar with him over at the Cock and Bull, I definitely want to share some of his stories. Met Liz Barnes. She and I met last night. She and her boyfriend were out. They had this party that they normally would have that Kim was a big part of, the young lady that passed away. And me and some buddies were out last night. We're going to hit one bar. We walk in there, it's kind of dead. So we walk into this other one, and it kind of hit with me. It's like, I think I saw something on her Facebook page about that. It took me a second as I was walking through the bar because she had it was like an ugly sweater party, and she had a Grinch hat on. It was actually kind of hilarious. But I did get to meet her and her boyfriend last night. Boyfriend, fiance? I'm not sure. I didn't ask. Very nice people. They're both extremely nice. I chatted with them only for a second because they were surrounded by a lot of their friends. I did have one pull me aside though, and I'm sorry that I didn't get your name. And the bar was loud and it was kind of crazy. And she said, thank you so much for doing that show. Listen, let me tell you, if you're listening, I'm sorry again for not catching your name. Thank you for saying so. But that show was easy to do because Liz was so open about Kim and the wonderful person that she was. Number two, it was great because it was easy to do because Kim was such a great person. And it was very easy to talk about her, especially because of how positive she was. And third, I love the fact that all of y'all still carry on your traditions and still think so highly of her. That was a really neat thing to see. Taylor is back. She did her, I've only talked to her a little bit through text. She did her half marathon and then took off for New York that day. Apparently mom got a little sick because of the chemo while she was traveling. So I think it put just a little bit of a damper on it. And I haven't gotten a chance to fully catch up with her because she was finishing up school this week and everything and probably celebrating her tail off because she is done with school and everything for a little bit. But she did do, I think what I saw on Facebook is she did really well in the half marathon. So we've had some, just a little update on everybody and how they've done. Christmas is, I don't know about you where you are, but it really does not feel like Christmas to me yet. And it's only because it's so dang warm outside. I don't know what part of the country you're in. I know I was talking to some people in our home office in Denver. There's like 3 feet of freaking snow that fell in like 5 minutes out there or something. It has been 70 degrees here in South Carolina all week long. And if this is what global warming is going to be, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm kind of okay with it. So I'm all right if you want to keep using the aerosol hairspray. I don't know if they still make aerosol hairspray. I haven't used hairspray in a long time. I hardly have any hair left. But, I don't have that Christmas feeling yet, and I think it's because it just hasn't been cold. The lights are up all over the neighborhood, I can tell you that, but it just doesn't have that feeling for me. But I don't know about you. I don't ever really get it till right before. And then there's that weird week between Christmas and New Year's where it feels like nobody's really got anything to do. And everybody's kind of taking time off or work's not really going, you know, either your projects are in or they're not going to make it. You know, it's just kind of like this weird, almost like a hangover feel before you take back off and go back out partying again on New Year's. And so I really try to take, it's always the week of Christmas that I really try to sit back and soak it in. So I've got somebody next week that is going to be a very special guest. I think it's very appropriate to do it for Christmas. And hopefully it'll help you get into the Christmas spirit a little bit. I couldn't be more excited about that guest. But my guest this week is someone that is very important to me. That's an understatement. It's also someone who is very important to a lot of people. And for those of you that have written in, that have asked a lot about the stress of Christmas, dealing with a couple of issues, I think this is the perfect person to go and get to answer this. I will most likely say that this person will be a repeat customer here at the local bar. I don't see why they wouldn't be. There's a large variety of subjects that they are an expert on, but definitely this time of year, this is someone very, very important to bring on. So I hope you enjoy it, and I will talk to you real quick on the other side of the break. Well, joining me today is probably one of our most distinguished guests that we've ever had. A lot of people know him as the Reverend Dr. Boyd McKeever Alexander Jr. Some people just call him Reverend Mike. We call him Pops around here. It is my dad, the pastor of Blaine United Methodist Church. Dad, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Chan. I'm glad to be with you, and Merry Christmas.
Well, Merry Christmas to you. So there are 2 weeks a year you have to work, Christmas and Easter. So I guess, have you already started working for next week, or are you still just kind of laid back doing, you know, hardly anything each day?
Well, actually, I'm not on the clock. I'm waiting for next week to come around so I can start working. No, the truth is, I've been working day and night for a long time.
For how many years? Yeah, I know. All right, so obviously, you know, all the stuff that goes into having the church service with Christmas Eve service and everything that's going on around the church and everybody in and out of it. Why is it different? Is going and visiting people, other than the time just being short, are people different during the holidays? Can you tell a difference when you're visiting people in the congregation or people in hospitals during Christmas time than any other time?
Well, I really can tell a difference. I think for some reason, you know, this is not a merry time of the year for a lot of people, and illnesses seem to be more pronounced during this time of the year. It's a blue Christmas for a lot of people because they've lost some loved ones. Some have lost jobs, some have lost spouses, for all kinds of reasons. So I can really tell. It seems to just be I'm much more aware of the pain during this time of year than any other time of the year.
Really? You brought up a couple of the common themes. Is it really just the holidays? Let me ask you this. What do you say to those people to help them through that?
Oh, that's a great question. That's one that I've been trying to figure out for years, but you know, from my perspective and as a clergy person, you know, the incarnation means God is with us. And all I can say to these people is that I don't have anything to say except God is with us.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you keep yourself from going crazy this time of year?
Well, I really struggle with it, and you know that. I've not been able to hide it from you after you've grown up, but I did a good job of hiding it from you when you were a child. I really struggle with this. I you know, the demands on clergy during this time of year and the intense pain in some people's lives and the long hours and the all the social events that I'm supposed to show up at and be merry at and enjoy, you know, all those things just kind of pull at me. So it's really, actually, I really try to slip off to the gym 3 or 4 times a week. and that's really how I keep my sanity.
One of the things that when I talk with folks, they, you know, it's the end of the year, and that means a lot of things. It means not only Christmas, and I've got to go out and get gifts, and you know, there's a schedule on that. You know, when can I work in shopping when people aren't around? And then, you know, everybody's got work, you know, end of the year projects that are due around this time of year. So it's almost like Christmas comes at one of the most inconvenient times in the calendar that we have. You told a story, and I'm going to put you on the spot here. There's a story that I've heard you share a couple of times in sermons about a professor that had a jar and had some rocks. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. I just can't remember how it turned out. Help me out a little bit.
Okay, this is the one where the idea was, all right, he had some big rocks and he put them in the jar first. You know which one I'm talking about.
Yeah, and you can't, and you go ahead and you finish telling
the
story.
It's the one where you put in the big rock, and he asks everyone in the classroom if it's full, and most people raise their hand, and then he takes some smaller stones and pours them into the jar, and he says, well, now is it full? And then he takes some sand and pours it into the jar, and it finally was full to the top, and he says, is it full? And everybody said yes, and then he pulled water out and poured it into the jar.
Yeah.
And the idea was when he asked the class, what does this teach us about time management? One lady raised her hand and said that there's always more to be done or something like that. And he said it was wrong. If you don't take care of the big things first, there's no way to make everything fit. How do you tell folks that are dealing with just time management issues, they're dealing with trying to get all that in, how do you tell them? Because everything at Christmas seems to be important. Like, you can't not go shop. While that shouldn't be the focus of what we have to deal with, if you got kids and you got people that you have to go get stuff for, you do. And that causes financial strain on some folks. And then there's that work side of it. How do you tell at Christmas time, how do you help people prioritize anything? How do you cut anything out?
Well, I'm not sure you can cut a lot out, but what you do have to do is you have to keep saying to yourself, I'll do the best I can. I'll try to deal with those major issues first. Good practice on time management is to make sure you just write things down and cross them off. You know, I think sometimes if we don't write them down and see how much we have accomplished, we just feel like we're not getting anything done. So one of the things that I really do tell people to do is, you know, you got your things to do. You think you prioritize things. Okay, do that. Write them down and cross them off, and you'll be amazed at how much you accomplish. I think we really do accomplish more than we think we do. I just don't think we are aware of it. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah. You spoke earlier about people that lose loved ones this time of year. It seems to be a thing. Oh, by the way, funny story. When you and I got off the phone last night, Liz Barnes, the young lady that I spoke to about her, the one that lost her best friend, actually met her and her boyfriend last night. They were at a place, and they were having a party that Kim, the young lady that passed away, kind of put together, I believe. And I saw a bunch of them there and a bunch of their friends, and I got to meet her and some of her friends. It was really nice. It was really kind of neat, and it was wonderful to see all those people carrying on a tradition of one of their best friends that they lost. And obviously it's more of a tragic tale because Kim was 38 years old. But like, mom, this is the first Christmas that mom's going to have since Greengrass passed earlier this year. You've dealt with this twice with both of your parents. It seems like, you know, we miss them no matter what happens when you lose a loved one, but obviously it comes around at Christmas is a time that you realize that chair is empty, that something's just different, and it just doesn't have the same feeling, good or bad, that it had before. What do you tell folks? How do you kind of prep that? As a matter of fact, how do you help mom, you know, deal with, you know, coming into a Christmas where they have lost a loved one?
Well, let me go back and just share with you. You weren't able to be with us on Thanksgiving when the family got together. And in the blessing, I just simply acknowledged that we were missing some special people. You know, Greengrass, your mom's mom, and Aunt Juanita.
Yeah.
And I think what people need to do during this time of year is to not be afraid to call the names of their loved ones. I think when you ignore it, it just is more painful. But I think you just acknowledge it, and you acknowledge what a great gift they were to us. You know, what a gift your grandmother was to you and to Abby, your sister. But I think what I try to do is not ignore it and to talk about it as much as I can. And I encourage people to talk about their loved ones. You know, what your friend did last night was give a party for a friend of hers who had died. But last night proved that death doesn't have the last word. You know, this girl, this lady, this young lady made an impact on lots of lives, and last night they celebrated that. So I think even at Christmas time, you're right, the chair is empty. But don't be afraid to talk about the person who used to sit in that chair and talk about how special he or she was.
What I know you got people in the church that listen to this. I'm aware of the audience, and I know that's something that I learned from you a long time ago. So I don't want to say anything, or I'm not asking you anything that would put you on the spot here or anything. So I don't want specifics. I'm just curious. From a preacher's standpoint, what annoys you at Christmas time each year? What pops up that you're like, man, you know, Christmas would be so much better if this didn't happen each year?
One of the things that annoys me the most is that how sometimes people go around talking about how much they love everybody, and I know they don't. You know, I just know that. Right. I just, you know, they tell me about how they love everybody, you know, but they, you, as soon as Christmas is over, they go back to their old way of living.
Right.
So that's something that annoys me. The other thing that annoys me is how sometimes people get, you know, there's an old German folk tale about the Advent devil who tries to help people lose their sight of the real meaning of Christmas. And I think it's just so easy to do that. I want to pick back up on I listened to you last, and you talked about how people just will be so glad to get Christmas over with, you know. I think that's the Advent devil, the Christmas devil, working on people like that. Mm. For those people who aren't liturgical, they may not understand that this is really the season of Advent, the season of preparing for the coming of the Christ child. So the Advent devil comes and tries to get us to get so busy that we lose the real meaning of Christmas. And one of the things that really annoys me is that how easy people minor on the majors and major on the minors.
The only other thing that I wanted to ask you that was skirting a line, and if this is something that, you know, because I don't want to ask anything that's going to cause anybody any kind of conflict or anything like that, but I saw something the other day, and I see it every year, and if you don't want to talk about it when we're off the air, I'm going to talk about it. And I'm not quite sure exactly how to feel about it, and the real reason why I'm conflicted with it is I don't understand why everybody makes such a big deal out of it. But there's something that I see every dang year in a lot of church communities or just out in the community are people that will claim that it is almost, I don't want to put any words in their mouth, but it is almost not Christian to teach your kids about Santa Claus. And I know that you dealt with that before in the church. You actually wrote like an editorial or a letter to the editor in the paper that I thought was brilliant. And you know, again, I don't want to go down any roads, but help me with that a little bit. Well, on the positive side of it, what was it about that you wrote that inspired you to write that letter to the editor? And just briefly, what is your thought on that?
Yeah, this was must have been about 25 years ago. I wrote an article, and it appeared in the local newspaper, and I just got eaten up alive.
Did you really?
Oh yeah, I did. I mean, I really got eaten up, blistered, you know, by another clergy person who was offended that I would say, "So what if children get Santa Claus and Jesus confused?" You know, Jesus, from my perspective, was not on an ego trip. And Jesus, it was not about him. It really wasn't. He said, "Don't call me good. There's none good but the Father." So I don't have any trouble at all teaching little kids who can get excited about Santa Claus and yet don't really understand Jesus yet. I don't have any trouble teaching them about love and kindness and doing good, and teaching them about Santa Claus, because one day I know I'll have a chance to segue and say, "Let me tell you about somebody who's even more special than Santa Claus."
Yeah. Hmm.
But for me, I think Santa does, is the epitome of everything that Jesus was all about. Being good and kind and caring and loving with open arms, you know. So it doesn't bother me at all, although I am absolutely certain that somebody is going to hear this and be offended. But my spirit is not to offend anybody about this, but to say, you know, in a way, Jesus comes from my perspective. You see, I'm talking from my perspective.
Yeah.
Jesus comes to us in all kinds of ways. And one of them is through Saint Nick. But he also comes through I'm sure he came through Mother Teresa. I'm sure he comes through others. But I'm not saying that Santa is the beginning of everything, but I'm saying God through Jesus is in everything.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So when it comes to Christmas and you're going, you know, you've got everything going on. We talked a little bit about the fact that it's a chaotic time for you and every other so many other people that work in the church community and help out with the church at this time of year. What are the things, though, that no matter what, it doesn't matter how rough of a day you're having, how busy the day is, what things about the season pop up and always just catch you and just make you smile? And you, I mean, you can go ahead and start with the Chevy Chase Christmas Vacation movie.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That's just something that I just watch as part of my routine. you talked about it, you know, but Christmas isn't Christmas for me unless unless I plop down in my chair and watch Chevy Chase, you know, I just love that. But there are other little things that really make my day, you know, and one is that to see the children around the church. We have services here at 4, 6, and 11, and at 4 o'clock, it's really for children. And this year I'm going to do something different. I'm going to baptize an infant at 4 o'clock during the service, and that's going to be special. But just seeing these little children makes my day. The other thing that makes my day, that makes Christmas for me, is that somehow walking out of the 11 o'clock service right at midnight after we've sung Silent Night, and I open the doors and I'm right here on the inlet, and it's the most wonderful feeling in the world. So that makes my day. But I got to say a couple other things, and you'll understand this, other people won't. But I think about my buddy Ralph, and he used to make my Christmas, and now my friend Larry makes it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm getting so old now, Chad, that. You know, things don't mean anything to me anymore. What's special is family, friends, community, a world that's so in need of community. You know, that's what makes my day.
Yeah, it's funny. I had a conversation with my manager the other day, and I can relate it to the story this way. One of the things I told her is that I've been very lucky. Don't get me wrong. I've had a bad manager or two I've worked with, but for some reason, since I started in sales and marketing, that every time, every manager I had seemed to be the right manager for me at that time. Like, I could go back now to the very first manager that I ever had, and he was wonderful for me. But now I would probably have outgrown him. He's not the guy for me now, but yeah, he was then. I've said the same thing about learning to play the piano, that I had three extremely gifted and wonderful piano teachers, and they all three were the right ones at the right time.
Yeah.
I think about the congregations you've been in. One of the questions that I get, I'm sure you get a lot, is what's your favorite congregation? You know, whether you're like, I don't know if anybody knows this or not, but you got to give the one you're in. It's always got to be your favorite. What you got, even if you're lying through your teeth.
No, but you got to say that. The truth is that is the truth.
Yeah.
The favorite one is where I'm at right now.
And I think about that, and you know, it's funny. I always, during the holidays, for some reason, I there's something that reminds me of each congregation. In each church, I think you've obviously had a really good road in your career. you know, traveler's rest. There's a part of me though that doesn't ever mind saying that traveler's rest was because of this reason that we were so young, we were there for so long, and we had some of the best friends. And when you talk about Ralph, you know, I think about the people that made Christmas. You know, Ralph was someone that made Christmas. I remember, and he's not here. I remember being with Towns Howes outside of Ralph's funeral. And Towns looked at me and he says, you know, I never felt like I was getting old till all of a sudden I started having to bury my friends. And now Towns isn't here. People like tragically like Steve Snipes that should be here and he's not. And it's funny, though, because when I look back on the Christmases, I guess in the same way as I grow up and I think about my favorite Christmases, it's the ones that are surrounded by those people. And where do you think, though, somewhere from where, you know, I guess my age, maybe a little bit before, and then where you are now, where that is a focus for you and people around my age, we lose that focus. Number one, what causes us to lose that focus and not realize that it really is the people, it really is the family, that's what makes the congregation, that's what makes the situation, and that's what makes the holiday. Number one, what do we do to lose that? Number two, what do we do to get that back?
Well, I think what happens with all of us is that somewhere along the line, when we're 35 to 55, we think we're going to find happiness out there somewhere. And sooner or later, we realize that happiness is not found out there. It's not found out there in things, for sure, but it's found within. And it's found within when you're very close to not only family, but friends. You know, friends take on a whole new meaning after a while. Mm-hmm. So I think somewhere about between 35 and 55, because we live in the kind of society that we live in, that sees success as in materialistic ways. But trust me, Chad, there comes a time sooner or later when you realize that life is much more than just the size of your paycheck or bank account or cars or houses. Don't want to preach to people out there, but I'm just telling you, I know that's true. And I think the way you kind of get it back is you get real honest with yourself and you realize that no matter how many toys you have, those don't make you happy.
Yeah, that's a good point. I've been very happy with the way that this show's taken off, and I've been surprised at the interactive nature that I've gotten with people that have emailed.
Well, that may stop today. After.
It might. This may be the end of it. So, yeah. But one of the things that I do get is because I have mentioned that you're a preacher, and because I brought that up, although I don't make the show religious by any means, but you know the whole idea behind the show is to have a positive effect somewhere. And to introduce people to fantastic folks that have neat and very positive stories. Some of the questions I've asked you have pretty much been kind of a trend. Like people ask a lot about how they get through the holiday season, about how they deal with the loss of loved ones. And I think you answered those brilliantly. Excuse me. Sorry. I'm getting all tongue-tied. You can tell I'm professional radio host here. One of the things, though, is I know that the listenership that I have is extremely varied because it's all throughout the country. I have a lot of folks that are you know, just agnostic, that they're but they still, you know, they still feel the same stresses, they still feel the same joys during this time of year, for people that are Jewish and everything. So understanding sure. The listening audience that you have here, if there was anything that you could tell everyone that you think is important for them to remember during this time of year, what would it be?
Well, first of all, let me just say I do realize that you have a wide variety of listeners, and you know me, I'm so open and have an open heart and open mind, and, you know, we're all on a journey, and we're just at different places, and we're not at the same place, and that's okay. I can live with that. But I guess if I could just wish anybody, everybody one thing, I just wish they would, I just hope they find that peace that they yearn for, whatever that peace is, whatever it is that makes them take a deep breath and say, you know, today is good. This season of my life is good. that's what I hope for people. And I think I'd say that to people regardless of their religious beliefs. You know, I just hope they find their peace in this season.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's awesome. Look at there. Not only can you preach to a United Methodist congregation, you can preach to the world. I tell you what, I'm just never cease to amaze me, Dad. I'm telling you, that's fantastic. Well, good luck to you this year. I know this is a busy time. So you told me on the phone last night, you still do the crazy thing where you go out on Christmas Eve to get a gift somewhere?
To tell you the truth, I look forward to that now. I'm going to go to the mall down here at Myrtle Beach, and that's about 12 miles from where we live. But I've been doing it for the last, since we moved here in 2005, and it'll be crazy. It'll be absolutely crazy, and there'll be people fussing, and there'll be people loving, and there'll be people singing. But I just kind of walked and through, and I'll buy something from somebody, probably something I don't need, but right. I'll buy it. And I'll get back in my car and I'll say, you know, I did it again. I've been doing that for 30 years, Chad. some of those days when you were growing up and you thought that I had gone to the office to work, well, I just really was. It's just kind of like my little tradition, my thing.
What before I let you go here, I have to ask, what's one of your favorite things that you've seen while you've done that?
I'll tell you. What really amazes me is how kind some clerks are, even when people are so crazy.
Really?
And that kind of renews me and lifts my spirit just to watch clerks, just to watch how kind they are to people who are so crazy. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, you know, as someone that gets to listen to you and, you know, in the Methodist Church, you don't have the same pastor usually for more than about 8 years max, but I'm blessed because I have the same one for 38 years. I'm always impressed with you, Dad, and I love you very much. Thank you so much for coming on. Appreciate it. I'm sure that I'll be seeing you soon, but just for customary reasons, let me tell you, Merry Christmas, and I hope you get through this Christmas season unscathed.
Well, I love you, and you have a Merry Christmas, and you find your peace.
All right. Thanks, Dad. All right. I'll talk to you soon. I mean, you know, how do you not go get your dad for stuff like that when he's a preacher? You know, how do you not turn and ask him those questions? Great to get his perspective. I know a lot of you have asked. I got a lot of questions about dealing with the loss of a loved one. I think some of it stemmed from the conversation about Kim Pollard. But this time of year, it is something that's really tough. The other thing, though, I want to tell you that stuck out to me that Dad said is when I asked him the question about what annoys him. He's like, people say that they just love everybody. There's a story that I share with people sometimes when I give if I give a talk somewhere. I would talk about a lot in orientation or maybe some other places that something that used to drive me crazy when I used to do youth church events back when I was younger. I was like in middle school and high school, and my youth group, two youth groups that I was very close with, but especially the one that we had when I was a middle schooler and very beginning of high school. That youth group was very large, and we did a lot of activities. We hung out together outside of church and school. But one of the things that I noticed whenever we do a lot of events is that, just for example, for those of you that aren't Christian or big into the church by anything, bear with me. You'll get what I'm talking about. We go to like an event for a weekend, and everybody just loves each other, and they want to turn themselves around and praise be to Jesus. And some of the folks really, really found their faith, or they were able to move that ball and that journey in their life, as far as their faith is concerned, down the field because of that weekend. Because you know, with a lot of them, they felt that they were supported and surrounded by people that felt the same way they did. Great, I'm not knocking that. I thought it was wonderful. But I was always amazed that there's a term that we use called mountaintop Christians. And what that means is you go to a retreat up in the mountains, and everybody's like, yes, I'm going to change my life. I'm going to be great. I'm going to be nice to everybody. And then they go home, they come down off the mountaintop, and they just keep acting the way that they always did. It is funny because I think Dad's right. I never thought about that, but you do see it at Christmas. I mean, everybody's, listen, the people that are in a better mood, great, love it. They're singing Christmas carols. They're having fun. Thank you for being positive. Thank you for reminding us to be positive. Love it. Great. Peace out. But it's those people that all of a sudden that they're coming around and they're this, oh, it's so good to see you. I've just loved you so much. You know, we don't spend that much time together. Yeah, you know, I don't want to spend time together because you annoy the crap out of me. I'm not trying to be negative, but there is something about that that kind of just jabs at you a little bit. You know, when I think that one of the nicest things, though, is to see people that are very genuine when they pass that love and they pass that joy and they pass that along to you. It really is uplifting because a lot of times you do see a lot of phoniness out there. The other thing is that Dad said that, you know, I thought it was very poignant that the part that he said at the end as far as finding your peace. And, you know, I'm going to tell you that that's one of the reasons why I started this show. And it's not to help you find yours. It was to help me find mine. There's a little bit of this is a nice outlet for me. I'm just appreciative that you listen to me. You know, I can't believe that so many of you do. When I get emails and I hear people ask questions and want to get involved and want to be part of the show, or I have someone that they want to be on the show, I'm really just kind of taken aback because I'm just surprised any of y'all listen to this junk in the first place. But it really was for me to find some kind of peace, and I just really felt pushed to do it. This is a time of year I think it's really hard to lose your focus on that. And I do hope that for those of you out there that are looking for that, if you're looking for joy, if you're looking for happiness, if you're looking for the perfect Christmas, I would say take the preacher's advice and just try to find your peace. That moment when you get to just be still for a little bit and feel good about where you are and understand that you're in a good place in your life, no matter what's going on. I mean, you're if you're able to listen, to take some time to listen to a freaking podcast, then your life's really not the worst it could ever be. Not saying it has to be the best, but it is nice to find your peace. And right now, as I'm going through this storm in my life that's been full of a lot of changes, and a lot of uncertainty. One of the reasons why I stay positive is I surround myself with people that care and that care about me and that are positive, and I love that. But it's also been that I've focused on not so much finding perfection as just finding that peace, and I love that. The last thing I want to leave you with is this, though. I could not. I was so surprised that I got a little choked up there, but I'm not shocked. Ralph Buchanan, if you don't know him, a lot of you that are listening to the show actually probably do. If you don't, Ralph was my dad's best friend. As the way I've described him before, he was that other dad that I had growing up. We lived next door to the Buchanans. Their kids, Kevin, Lee, and David, were very close to me and my sister. Kevin is probably the closest thing I've ever had to a brother. We don't hardly ever see each other, but he certainly feels like family to me. We were the same age growing up. We have a lot of similarities. Just there's something weird with the two of us, and I've always just appreciated that no matter how much time passes, that cat's there. He's got a wonderful family up in Greenville, and I love catching up with him. The very few times I take the initiative to do it, and I need to do it more. But Ralph is easy for anybody. If anybody knew my dad and Ralph, I don't have to explain that to you. I think that's great. And the fact that Dad's got somebody now, Larry, he is a wonderful guy. He is a great guy. He's been through some tough times this year. He just recently lost his mom, and I think about him a lot, and I probably think about him more than I call him, and I probably should pick up the phone and give him a shout every now and then. But I know how much, you know, how nice it is to have people around you that pick you up. That's, you know, when you really think about it, that's what Christmas to me and probably should be to you, or the folks that are around you. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's easy to say it's about the kids. I mean, shoot, yeah, it's about my daughter. Man, I love it. But not only because of the joy she gets at Christmas, but what joy it gives me. We have a new baby in the family, Mallory. She's still in the NICU. I still have not been able to meet her, see her face-to-face yet. But I've seen her cute little face on pictures. And obviously her sister, Madison, who's a year old, it's just fun just watching her, you know, probably, I guess, tear up boxes because she doesn't know what's going on. But she's sweet as can be. But it's not only that. You know, I enjoy spending time with friends during this. You know, this place, this podcast is called The Local Bar because I've met some of the nicest people, most wonderful people I've ever met in my life in a bar. I love going to, sorry, Dad, if I'm, you know, I guess I go to church, do all that kind of stuff too. Yes. And by the way, my dad, Blaine United Methodist Church down there in Merle's Inlet, if you have never been there, you are missing out for two reasons. Three reasons. Number one, it is one of the prettiest churches with one of the most beautiful sceneries around it that you have ever seen. If you're down there where all the restaurants are in Myrtle Beach, it is right in the middle of them, and it's gorgeous. Number two, they have one of the nicest congregations. We've been very blessed in our life to be part of some very, very, very close congregations, very wonderful people. My parents left one in Columbia that I was worried that they wouldn't find people that take care of them the way that one did. It is probably not the same. There's a lot of differences, but this congregation down there is so warm and so welcoming and loving to death. Don't get me wrong. There's been a congregation or two that I won't give praise to, but those, you know, that one definitely. And I really am appreciative of not only how nice to me they are whenever I'm there, but how wonderful they take care of my mom and dad. But number three, the preacher down there is pretty damn good. You should go listen to him. I love at Christmas time. I love going to a bar. I love going out and seeing people that are like, oh, thank God, my Christmas shop is over. Now let's have a couple of drinks and kick back. I mean, bars are one of the happiest places to be right that week of Christmas. You know, get out. Don't allow yourself to sit back and miss out on time with other people. We're all going to be very busy. We all have a million things to do. But, man, if you miss going out and meeting up with your friends for lunch, for dinner, for a couple of drinks, to go catch a movie, to go do something during this time of year, you're missing out on what makes this year wonderful. Genuine people who love you, that enjoy being around you, that have fun, that want to be there with you. Man, that really is what it's all about. You got to take advantage of it now, because you don't know who's going to be here. I don't want to make this negative, and I don't want to put a sad spin on it, but, you know, we talked a little bit about people that aren't going to be here anymore. Yeah, I'm going to miss my grandmother. It's going to be weird being there. Kim's family, her dad's going to miss her this year. Did he expect in January that his 38-year-old daughter wouldn't be around for the next Christmas? Take your time with people. And sometimes it's not something so drastic as death. Sometimes it's just that life changes. You don't know where someone's going to be, where they're going to move to, what's going to happen over the next year. Man, if you enjoy spending time with someone, then go out there and do it. This is the time of year that that everybody's got a little bit of time. So go out there and find it. Enjoy it. Remember, above anything else during this holiday season, to go out and find your peace and to revel in it. And I hope you have a Merry Christmas, you have a Happy Hanukkah, whatever it is that you celebrate, if it's nothing religious and just time with family, I hope whatever it is a fantastic time. And I do hope and pray that you find your peace and really enjoy the season.
Thanks for stopping by the bar. We've picked up your tab, but if you'd like to throw the best bartenders you know a tip, head over to patreon.com/localbar and support the show. Any support is greatly appreciated. If you'd like to drop us a line, send your comments and questions to localbarmail@gmail.com. Thanks again for coming in. See you next week.
Thank you again to the Reverend for stopping by. Thank you for coming by. Please feel free to drop a line if you'd like. Let us know what crazy Christmas story you have. Hope you find your peace. See you in just a couple of short days. Take care.